It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hey there, and welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few moments with us today. On the show today, I have the great pleasure of having Dr. Alan Beyer with me. Dr. Beyer is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine, arthroscopic surgery of the knee, and total knee replacement, which brings us to the topic of arthritis of the knee. Welcome, doctor.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, when I had my ACL repaired 2 years ago, one doctor told me that having the surgery might cause arthritis later in life, and the other doctor told me that, in fact, no, having the surgery will prevent arthritis from occurring later in life. So I'm still a little bit confused about this.
Well, I think that in the case of a knee where the ACL is deficient to the extent that it's one that's appropriate to be reconstructed, it's been proven for many years that fixing that ACL, reconstructing that ACL is going to stabilize that knee and prevent the onset of arthritis. So having an ACL reconstruction in a knee that's extremely loose and requires it is definitely a preventive measure to prevent that knee from developing arthritis down the road. Now that said, any operation on any joint can cause the progression of arthritis later on if there's some trauma to the joint during the surgery or just from the trauma of the surgery itself. But clearly, in a knee that's loose enough to need an ACL reconstruction, it's appropriate to fix that to prevent the onset of knee arthritis down the road.
Thank you so much. I feel better having heard your opinion on that. Now, it used to be, of course, that, for example, with ACL repair 20 years ago, they put your leg in a cast for 6 months before they let you use your ligaments again. But it's not so these days. They get you right back up on the bike, and recovery times are much shorter than they used to be.
Absolutely, and that's also part of why the myth of the surgery causing arthritis isn't as true as it was 20 years ago. Fixing an ACL used to require an incision that was 12 to 15 inches long, a cast for long periods of time. Now we do them arthroscopically with a little incision about an inch or an inch and a half to place the graft. We don't use casts anymore. We move the knee right away. Mm-hmm. We let the patient's weight bear much sooner, so they're restored to function much faster, and that's what stops the onset of the arthritis, the fact that we let the knee move much faster.
And by the way, you do not beep when you go through the airport security line. Before I had the surgery, everyone's going, oh, you're going to beep. You're going to have to do all this stuff at the airport. Not true.
No, that is true. The devices that we use to fix ACL reconstructions are small enough that they won't set off even the most sensitive of airline triggers. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's not the case with total knee replacements, but, you know, that's a small price to pay for having a knee that functions much better.
Yeah, I think mobility is a little bit more important than a two-minute search. Now, tell us about some of the latest treatment options for people who have arthritis of the knee.
The biggest advances have been made in the last couple of years in the use of computer navigation and robotics and patient-specific instrumentation and minimally invasive surgical techniques that allow us to do these procedures through a smaller approach with less damage to the soft tissues around the knee and with a much higher degree of accuracy. So the total knees that we're putting in today will often last 20 to 25 years rather than the 10 to 12 years that we used to get in the older generation of prostheses. And therefore, you're hoping that in most cases, except in the very, very young, you're doing a total knee replacement one time, and that's going to last them for the rest of their lifetime.
Excellent.
I'd say that the other big advance has been in the reemergence of partial knee replacements. A lot of people get arthritis where it doesn't involve the entire knee joint. It involves just half of the knee or perhaps the joint with the kneecap. And in that case, you can replace just the area of the knee where the arthritis is rather than do a total knee replacement in a knee where only part of the knee is involved. The advantage of that is it's a smaller operation, the recovery is faster, and it could always be converted to a total knee down the road with minimal difficulty if that patient's arthritis were to progress.
Always best to keep your original equipment when you can, right?
As long as you can keep it, you keep the original parts.
Now, Joan in Inglewood has an email question for you, doctor. What about yoga and Pilates for arthritis sufferers or as a means of preventing arthritis?
I think that those are both very good, very, very viable techniques for keeping tissue stretched, keeping the body more limber, and will do a lot to decrease the stiffness that often accompanies arthritis and is somewhat preventative as well in that it will allow the patient to be more active. And that's a very, very big part of preventing progression of arthritis, too.
There you have it, Joan. It's not going to hurt you. It's only going to help you. Of course, you have to make sure you don't bend too far in
areas.
Well,
I think the best advice for that is if it hurts, don't do it. Just stretch to the limits of where you feel comfortable. You shouldn't have to bite a bullet to get through your routine. If one particular position or one particular stretch is causing you a lot of pain, just back off on that one.
There you have it. Just reasonable. Now, what exactly is arthritis? We know what it feels like, but what is actually happening in the body when we contract arthritis?
By definition, arthritis is the loss of the cartilage, the lining tissue that is on the end of every bone that's makes up a joint. It's a low friction substance that allows the joint to move smoothly. So when that arthritis is either lost or is damaged or becomes roughened instead of smooth, that joint gets inflamed, has more difficulty and pain moving, and then that just becomes a progressive cycle where the cartilage wears out more and more and the joint gets more stiff and more painful.
Now, when that wears out, is stem cell research pointing to some ways and areas where we might be able to replace some of that which is lost?
Ultimately, we will definitely have stem cell injection or stem cell implant to replace articular cartilage. We're not there yet. We actually do have some ways to turn on cartilage growth. We don't have a good way to turn it off yet once you've turned it on.
Oh.
So it becomes kind of like a double-edged sword. You don't just want the body to keep making it. So until we have this, the off switch as well as the on switch, we're not going to be able to use this clinically. But ultimately, I think that stem cells or some stem cell variant will probably take away the need for joint replacement. It's not going to be in the next 5 years or 10 years, but at some point down the road, that's definitely what the future holds.
Something very much to look forward to for people who suffer with arthritis.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your rehab facilities and your staff.
We have a team, which we call Joint Works at Hoag Hospital, where basically the patient is met by the people who are involved in delivering their care weeks before the surgery, so they know what to expect when they come in. Their rehabilitation starts the same day as surgery. If someone has a knee replacement at 8 in the morning, they're working with the physical therapist by 1 or 2 that afternoon. The goal is to get people up and get them moving quickly. Typically, they're only in the hospital for 1 to 2 days. And we try to get them back to their normal routine of life as quickly as possible because that's what really makes for a recovery that's worthwhile.
It feels there when you go to the hospital that it's a true family, and people really share their expertise with, you know, different departments are really talking to each other and helping each other with diagnosis.
Well, we're big enough that we can have the facilities that a tertiary care center needs, but we're small enough that we really are still a family. And that tone was set by George Hoag years ago when the hospital was established. He used to know everybody who worked at the hospital, would even come to the hospital Christmas party. And that culture has still stayed at Hoag, and that's an integral part of what makes Hoag what it is.
Fantastic. Now, what about aspirin and arthritis?
Aspirin is a great drug for several different things. It's a great anti-inflammatory. If it were invented today, it would be a prescription drug. So just because it's over-the-counter aspirin doesn't mean it's not effective. It doesn't work well. It's the first-line anti-inflammatory that we use before we use the more expensive prescription anti-inflammatories. But like any other drug, it can be overused. And you want to limit the amount of aspirin intake a day because it does have some side effects in terms of GI symptoms and can cause some bleeding in the GI tract. Mm-hmm. So one doesn't want to overuse aspirin, but it's certainly a great first-line drug.
And how do you know if, say, you're developing arthritis in the knee? What are some of the symptoms?
I think pain is the first. Pain is the first sign of something going on. It's your body's signal that something isn't working properly. The other types of things we look for are swelling. If the joint is making too much fluid, that's a sign of it being inflamed. Grinding, if it feels like it's popping or catching in certain positions, specifically in the knee joint, that's an early indicator of the possibility of arthritis. And increased temperature, if the joint feels warm, mm-hmm. that's also a sign of inflammation that something is going on in the joint.
What about that really odd noise that sometimes your knee makes, that crackling?
If it's coming repeatedly, like with every step that you take going up or down stairs, mm-hmm. or when you get up from a seated position when you've been sitting for a long period of time, then it's something that should probably be looked into. If it's the occasional pop or catch that we get sometimes in our knees, sometimes in our neck, sometimes when we snap our knuckles, I wouldn't worry about it if it wasn't accompanied by pain.
And do you have any final words for our audience, people who might be thinking about coming to see you for arthritic problems?
I think earlier is better. Get involved with your physician early, develop a relationship, and develop a treatment plan that's going to be good for both of you.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're talking today with Dr. Alan Beyer, the medical director of the Center of Excellence at Hoag Orthopedic Services, and it's been incredibly enlightening on many, many fronts. For more info on Dr. Beyer, you can visit hoaghospital.org and check out his biography and photo to learn a little bit more about his area of expertise and areas of expertise. You can also listen to a podcast of this show anytime you like or share it with a friend. It's really important, free information you can carry with you on your iPhone or your MP3 player. Just download the podcast onto your personal player and listen whenever you like. And please do share with a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Thanks so much for listening and have yourself a great day.